Backchat Studios is a part of the Acast Creator Network. Head to backchatpodcast.com.au to sign up as a patron and access all of our merch.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back again for an episode of the Backchat Basketball Show. Hello at backchatpodcast.com.au is where you can email us, send us questions, give us feedback, tell us whatever you want. And backchat_basketball is where you can find us on socials like Instagram. 2006 was the last time that the Sacramento Kings made a playoff appearance. And it was also the last time that Greg Heyer was on this podcast. That's how long it's been since he's been available. But he's here now, so we should welcome him. Hello, Greg. Clap, 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 clap. How you been?
Ah, you're welcome. That's what the listeners have been waiting for.
I know.
Look, no, no. Let's just say, it's been a unique 8 weeks for me, mate. No longer was I able to pretend like I was going for meetings at my previous employment.
Right.
So if any of my former employees are listening, obviously I was taking proper time off. But no, yeah, of I'm now full-time in my charity and
brilliant.
Life just has got busy, all right? So I apologize. It's no excuse.
No, it's fine. You're the only busy guy. I get it. It's fine. You're the only person in Australia that's busy. Right. Let's get it straight into some basketball stuff. It is NBL free agency.
Can I cut you off, though?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Let's go.
I'm going to tell this a funny story about the word busy. And I imagine I was doing a keynote speech. That's what I do. I'm big time like that. But I asked the MC, how he was doing, and generally the response is busy, right? Like everyone, so I'm keeping myself busy.
Right? Yeah.
But I try not to do that because, especially in the mental health space, people when they say busy, it's like, well, you're not preaching. Like, sorry, you're not doing what you preach in terms of keeping yourself. Yeah. So I'm like, no, I'm doing well. Obviously busy. Anyway, this guy said to me when I said busy, he said never busy, being productive. And I wanted to punch him straight. Oh, look, yeah. I don't condone, but I don't love it. But now every time I laugh because I'm just like, really? Like, did I just meet Tony Robbins Jr.?
Yeah.
Like, well, I had to share that with you. But go ahead, kick the show.
No, it's like that guy recently has been going viral where he's just like, my first day starts at 6 and it ends at 12. That's day one. Day two starts at 12 and it goes till 6. By the time you've had one day, I've had 4. Spread that over the course of a year. I've had 5 more years of my life than you. I will always beat you. Like, yeah.
See, I always love that because even when I was growing up and as I was like the grind and the motivational clips and it's that guy, that pastor, and he's talking like, if you value sleep more than you value hard work, you're not going to make it. I was like, I love sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I will beat you in the long run if you're only working on 2 hours sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. That fundamentally is very important. Mm. So, like, let's not ignore the fact that that is it. But,
yeah.
I love that. All right, kick us off, Dan.
All right.
Big show.
Yeah, big show. Lots to talk about. The NBL free agency period has started. So, that was today, Thursday, or was it yesterday, Wednesday, whatever it is. When we record this is going to come out the following morning. So, hopefully nothing happens at the strike of midnight with any free agents and it's out of that we're sort of out of touch with. But do you remember this time of year for you? When was the last time you were a free agent? I know you played your entire career in Perth, and you've said before that you never really looked much elsewhere outside of Perth. But what's this like for as a player at the moment?
Oh, it's brutal. No, I remember it vividly, and I've been speaking to the current group that are negotiating or potentially going to get bought out and or looking for new deals. It's brutal. I remember being a development player. I got $6,000 to my very first contract where there was no roster spots available and I was awaiting for a spot to open up. Stevie Way leaves and that happens, and I was on minimum. So I wasn't really, there was no negotiation. I didn't have an agent, to then my very first contract where I actually had a little bit of leverage, you know, like ended up being a starter that year. But what I'm saying, that that was like sort of exciting. Like I never had like other clubs call me up. You know, I remember at that time, Rob Beveridge was the Illawarra coach, and asked me to grab a coffee and was like, look, this is what budget I've got. If you're interested in coming, this is the role that I've got for you. And so you sort of are getting enticed. It's like back when you're in college and getting recruited.
I remember that
vividly. So that is, yeah, but that is certainly exciting. But that changed. Like I remembered, it was funny then, you know, when I was on long-term deals, to then negotiating became brutal. I remembered one bad year, and it's sort of ironic. I did a presentation this week at a school, and these kids were like, oh, we've got a newspaper article of you. And it was an article of when I was re-signed, and it was after the season we lost to Cairns in the playoffs that year with a lot of injuries. And the article was super negative. It was like, right, Greg High has been given a second chance. There was like quotes from Trev like saying, I still believe in him. Like, yeah, maybe he wasn't as productive as he would have liked, but he's got a role. And it's just funny like how that sort of shifts, the whole media narrative of what that looks like. So it's certainly a stressful time for, one, look at the guys that are potentially have long-term deals that are openly has been discussed that they're going to be bought out. Like I think that's evident now.
Yeah.
And so they're finding deals to then, you know, talking like a guy like Jesse or someone like that, that's that year-to-year structure.
Yeah.
To then the guy like LT, who the window's at his, the world's at his feet, like he can literally pick and choose and go, I can go wherever I want. I can pick and choose what I do. So certainly a stressful time. I definitely, you know, it was funny, like later in my career where it was like 1 year deals, and I never ever felt like I never got a deal. But what really impacted me was like, I remember 1 year, and I hold it really close, a journalist, and I hope he listens to this. You can let him know, Corbin Middlemiss, over in another platform. Basically, as all journos do, they want to get the exclusive, you know. And so I remember being at the Wildcats ball, about 84 beers deep, 12 bottles of Cab Sav.
Were you DJing?
Yeah,
at this point?
I was DJing, and horses was played like 8 times. But I remember as I was walking off, someone like said, I think he said to me like, "Oh, hey, sorry to hear the news." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "Oh, like the word is that you're not getting offered a contract." And I was like, okay, like I'm going to have to deal with this with a horrible hangover. he was hoping that I was like, yeah, man, it's true. Like I'm moving on, you know, but yeah. And then it sort of, I like called the club. I had a really good relationship with Nick Marvin and obviously then Troy later in my career.
CEOs of the
Wildcats. Yeah. And I was like, tell me the truth. What's going on? And they're like, nah. But here's a really funny story of how that works and how tough the business can be. I had signed a contract. I was negotiating. I actually got rid of my agent midway through my career because I was like, man, taking 7%. I can literally just negotiate my own pool, like way. I know what I want.
It's like a dollar an hour.
These deals. Yeah, correct. And so I was like, nah, I'm not doing this. And so anyway, I remember meeting with Nick Marvin at the old Swan Brewery or whatever it is, like Riverside Drive. My wife dropped me off. Anyway, I left the meeting and everything that I asked for, Nick was like, yep, sweet, no worries. And I was like, okay, like this is too bizarre. So I like get in the car and my wife goes, oh, how'd it go? And I was like, you know, he agreed for everything. And she's like, that's pretty easy. Like, are you surprised? And I'm like, nah, I'm surprised, but I'm cautious. Like there's something going on here.
Right.
You know, I don't, it's just too good to be true. Obviously, like, get an email, 2 hours, here's your contract, sign it, let us know. And it was like for a 1 year deal. And I was like, mate, are you kidding? Like, I literally, he knew I was wanting a 3 year. And I was like, mate, I want a 3-year. Like, and he's like, no, I can't give that. You know, like this, like bet on yourself. You know, if you get good,
right, to make some more money,
you can make your more. And I was like, yeah, no, I'll just get you continuously increase my contract every year. Like, give me a player option, so I'll opt out and get more money if you want. Like, yeah, fair enough. Like, and so it was like this real. You had to be smart to the point where then. 1 year, I think it might have been the next or whatever contract. My wife was pregnant, and we held off the announcement because I knew that Nick would say he would take money off. And so I remember,
like, you're going to be unavailable. Can't, you know, rely on you to be there all the time.
Oh, he knew. Yeah. Like, if you've not that. I'm a perfect guy, and I think what had happened was Ainsley was pregnant. My wife, we had just bought a house, but we didn't tell anyone because I obviously was like, and you're not buying a house and then leaving. You know what I mean? So I was just like,
your leverage.
Okay.
So your leverage is gone.
Right. And so I just like left it. And then as soon as like I signed, I was like, Instagram, like, we're pregnant. I'm moving into this home. And I remember seeing Nick, and he goes, well played. Like, well played. And many years later, having this chat about him, he goes, yeah, I said, you would have given me less. He's like, absolutely would have. Like, you know, I knew you wouldn't leave. Like, oh, the cards would now no longer be in your court. So,
of course,
it's a tough thing, but it's interesting.
Well, speaking of the Wildcats, let's talk about some current stuff that's going on, because potentially next year on the roster, you could have Bryce Cotton and Jesse Wagstaff, and that's it.
Well, not even Jesse.
Well, that's
he's not contracted.
Yeah, that's true.
Right now, it's Corey Webster and Bryce Cotton.
That's right. So, yeah, and I don't know if Corey is, like, is that official? Has that been made? I know that they're saying it's very close, but there isn't many players. There's almost a max exodus of sorts. So, obviously, you know, they're the two other imports, I would imagine, aren't coming back. Brady Manick has said all he wants to do is make money. And so, you know, good on him. He's
gonna, he said this.
Yeah, he told me when I interviewed him on Backchat, he said, look, my main goal is to make money. Like, sure, playing basketball.
Yeah. As it would be for a lot of people.
Yeah, and he's a college kid. You know, he's coming out of college. Yep. He wants to make a career for himself. So he said, look, winning's great. Teammates are fun, all that stuff. But I'm here to make money. That's my one goal. And it's funny because I hit up the Wildcats after that. You know, just giving them a heads up, because they put me, they did let me do the interview, and I just said, hey, just letting you know, like, this is going to be in the interview. You know, I'm going to leave it in there. And they're like, oh yeah, we've already dealt with that. Like, he said it in a few interviews already. So he was very open about this idea of making money. So, there could be a completely different roster on the court. I mean, it looks like there will be, because obviously Mitch Norton is rumored to be, you know, testing the waters. Todd Blanchfield, there's no guarantees he's going to return. So you got Bryce on a longer deal, which I know the Wildcats would do everything it takes to keep him around. And look, I think he's Perth for life. He seems to have settled down properly here. But yeah, it's going to be very odd for the Wildcats this offseason, and very tricky, especially for Danny and the front office there, Hutchie. And I don't know, how do you see this playing out for them?
I think this is going to be the fork in the road of where this organization really goes, like in for the next 5 to 10 years, to be completely honest. Not even on players, there's coach reshuffling, you know, like Mike Kelly going to Southeast Melbourne, he's gone. That's your first assistant. Luke Brennan, who was your second assistant.
And he's been with the club for a long time, Luke.
Yep, has been removed. And so Keegan Crawford's been promoted, and then they've brought in Gerard Martin, 27-year-old coach that was at Cal Baptist, I think, where John Riley has experience with. He was actually he tried out as a development player. And it's funny, I was speaking to Jesse about it. I said, do you remember him doing a tryout? And he's like, yeah, mate, like his knees were shot, and they offered him like a manager position, like the team manager, glorified team manager role, and said, oh, look, if your knees become good. And so kind of crazy to see, but he was a really great human. Like, again, I don't know his coaching ability, but it's certainly going to be an interesting time. I mean, like, I would think Corey is done. Part of me thinks, you know, and what will happen is the domino effect, right? Like, as you sort of said, Deshaun Thomas and Brady Manick, I wouldn't expect them to come back. I wouldn't get those guys back, as much as Brady went. I look back, if you reflect on this season, I still think it's failure. You're saying, if you count that we made the playoffs, you got bundled out and then get into the actual finals per se, didn't get an opportunity to play on your home court and make extra money for the season. So for me, that's not finals. So 0 from 2 in the past year. So, I think the pressure is going to be on Danny, and in doing so, the whole roster is going to change.
Yeah. Have you ever had that happen when you were playing? Did you have in your era, you had a lot of consistency. You wouldn't have had 8 new players come through.
No, never. And I think that's the reason. I think you look at the success of all teams has always been that. I don't even think I'd be surprised to see success. It might help success down the line, 3 or 4 years down the line, dependent on who you get and some of the names you get. But I look at it and it's a very high risk situation, high reward, but your job's on the line, which I guess it is they have to do, because if they don't make the playoffs, I think the writing's on the wall. There's no chance. And even that, because to me, they regressed from the previous year, really, from a results standpoint. And I look at what happened. You look at the movements that they made. Ty Webster during the year brought in, which at that time, and I had mentioned on the pod, I didn't think was a great signing.
It just didn't really address their issues. It didn't give them defense. Give them rebounding. And they were the two biggest issues on the team. And then they brought in a guy who's incredibly talented, can score like crazy. Yeah. I mean, the Wildcats offense was incredible. It was like a buzzsaw.
It was humming, but in the end, did it get them into a better position of winning a championship?
No.
It didn't. And you could say, a hamstring injury and all that, but that's where it is. And I look at it and go, did it detract from Bryce, in terms of that? For me, Corey Webster was a revelation in the second half.
He was awesome.
I look at what Danny has been able to do in the last 2 years. That would be his biggest achievement, maybe only achievement, really, in terms of recruiting him when people maybe underestimated his.
Yeah, he took a swing on him and it paid off.
Correct. And he paid off in dividends. So I would be going back with that. But I look at the form and I go, prior to Ty Webster coming, the Wildcats were humming. I think there was a pod earlier before we had this break. We were sort of saying, the Wildcats don't make some sort of change or whatever, they're not going to be good. But they end up, prior to Ty coming in, I think they were, that New Zealand situation where Corey is, talking trash to. They were on they had won 4 or 5 and the only game was maybe on the back end of a doubleheader. So I actually think they were in a great position, and so I didn't really know. Now, they might bring Ty back, but I think that's actually – they'll hurt him again. Mm. Yes, it's quality, but I still think the way that system's run and the way that John really is playing – you just need two studs, which it runs through it, Corey and Bryce, and yet you could play a third guy in the back, but I'll be looking at potential free agents like Alex Dukas, that's a guy you need. If you want to recruit him, you can't have then Ty, because you'd be going, well, am I the fourth option? Two imports. And I know we've always been saying it, but there's a high likelihood Bryce is going to have to be a citizen by the season starting. So if that is to happen, you're bringing in 3 imports.
Yeah.
What does that roster look like? So perplexed. Mm. I'm not going to lie in terms of that this current stage. And so when you ask, was there much changeover? The biggest changeover 1 year was, I guess, Matty Knight's retirement that year. And, we got Nick Kay, Mitch Norden, Dexter Koenig-Drew. There was I think maybe 3 or 4 guys.
Maybe
we had Angus Brand, or maybe he came in. But that was maybe 3 guys. And obviously Nick and Mitch were the cornerstones of that. Remember, funny enough.
Because they were playing together at the time, right?
Illawarra. And then they got Illawarra went bankrupt. But it was,
No, it was a pretty funny experience, like when we looked at it, you know, and how that looked. I remembered when we signed Hugh Greenwood. Hugh was with us for like the first 2 weeks, and they had basically signed Hugh to be like the heir apparent to Damo. And I was like, man, this guy's not even going to be the heir apparent. He's going to be starting, like, you know, within, like, he was killing it. Like, obviously, I'm inflating it, like,
but yeah, yeah.
He was killing this preseason and doing really well. Anyway, Hugh obviously goes to Adelaide for a footy gig, which was like super, like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we were like, this is really good. To then we ended up signing Nate Jaiwai. And so we're like, ah, okay, that's a pretty, like a nice little upgrade. Like, that worked out well. Nate leaves. But anyway, like, once, like, all that situation, like, the Nick Kay was, like, this really unique situation where I remembered, like, speaking to Matt Nielsen at the time and Adam Ford, and I was like, man, we need to get Nordo. We need to get Nordo. Like, I was like, I love him as a point guard. Like, he just runs it, you know, good. And they were like, yeah, well, look, we want Nick Kay. And I was like, I'm not a fan. Like, I was like, I like him. But I was like, yeah, look, at the end of the day, like, Nick Kay, you know, Jesse's been, like, whenever we play him, he's not had these, like, good numbers. And Cam Glidden was also, like, the other big free agent that was available at that time. And so, anyway, and I thought, like, oh, let's get Nordo, Glidden, like, as, you know, like, so we can get, you know, like, a two, like, a good, like, guard, Aussie guard, because, you know, two imports or whatever it may be, and bigs, and that, mate. Egg in my face, because, like, Nick Kay ends up being this absolute superstar that now I'm like, if you're building a club,
oh man,
I'd be getting him.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Absolute freak. And obviously Nordo was good, and now Cam's in New Zealand. But it's funny how that all shifts. And I remember speaking to Nelly, because same deal, like, Nelly, Matt Nielsen was head of basketball operations, so basically was like the big part of that. And he was like, we, no matter what, sell the house for Nick Kay. Like, but obviously salaries weren't that bad. We had Jack's financial behind us, which was always help, like, which was always good that we could have that. So it's crazy. So yeah, in saying that, but yeah, like, in terms of what that looks like, I mean, like, let's go predictions. Like, I would suspect Jesse will come back.
Yes.
He's in no rush. Like, you know, he's a unique individual where, like, you know, he loves the game of basketball, but it's not his be all.
Yeah.
And all, like, you know, he'll more happy to make a decision that's best for him and his family.
Yeah.
You know, whereas other people may rush, they'll go. And I like it, they need him more than he needs them, realistically, right?
Yeah.
Like, with what this club shifting. Obviously, yeah, look, Todd, Kyle Zunick, Nordo, yeah, like, that's open that there.
Yep.
They're on the outer, which is unique.
I reckon Zunic could be a one that comes back.
Nah.
You don't think?
So. I think, like, that's the easiest one to move.
Right.
Small
maybe we're
contract.
Hearing different things.
Well, maybe. There you go. well, they might have to. But again, like, that's, I mean, they're obviously trying to move Todd and Nordo's contract. But, like, yeah. Todd's contract is like, I mean, he signed a 3-year deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So no, they have to pay 100% of his year two contract and 50% of his third. Like, yeah, that is,
it's a fair chunk of coin. There's no Jack Bendat money floating around as well at the moment. Let's talk about Luke Travers, because that's probably one of the biggest things that's come out in the off season so far, that that he would be leaving the Perth Wildcats. Now, you know, as someone who, I mean, you've been a big fan of Luke Travers. I think he's awesome. I think he's a future star. This was, I think, riding on the wall for quite a while. I've heard different things about why he's leaving, but from my understanding, Luke Travers has been told, and I heard Danny speak about this on the news just briefly, and it sort of backed up what I've heard, that Travers has gotten some advice that if you want to go to the NBA, which obviously he does, that's his goal, that he has to prove himself outside of where he's comfortable in. And they've suggested that he moves on from Perth, not because of a Perth thing, but because you need to show that, you know, he's a Rockingham guy, you know, he's played for Perth, he's shown what he can do in Perth. But if NBA scouts are looking at him, or the Cavs are like, okay, sure, you've done that in your own place. Can you do that? Could we move you across to the other side of the world and show us that you can still do that? And I think that has been the major moving factor, as apart from, you know, role or desire to leave Perth. I think it's more on what's best for his future. But I don't know. What do you think about LT?
Yeah, I disagree with all that, to be honest. I don't think an NBA club is like worrying about that and going like calling up his mum and saying, oh, like, can he move to the other side of the world? Like, he's a 22-year-old male, like, still very young and early in his piece. I think the best thing for his basketball is to leave the club. And I think his agent knows that too.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, I don't think he's in the best opportunity to flourish, you know, like, so if we look at their system, Bryce is always going to be one.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt. That's the pecking order. And then Corey, obviously, with that re-signing, is number two. But then, you know, you look at what that looks like if you're bringing back Ty and a couple of imports. Clearly, last year, like, they're not. Now, part of that, maturity, like, you know, if you look at success and you go, how will LT be successful in the NBA? And I mentioned this, it's the mold of Mitch Creek and it's what Xavier Cooks was doing.
Yep.
Like, at points, like, they're, I think Mitch Creek's obviously way more offensively prowess than, say, Xavier Cooks, like, you know, has the ability to shoot, handle the ball a bit better. Xavier Cooks, better athlete, but his desire is incredible.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that's holding LT back. Like, we see glimpse, and that's what's frustrating from, say, any fan is like, oh, we see this, like, moment where he has, you know, like, it's 22, like, 11,
people put on him, like, Sydney. Why can't he do it more often? And it's not always.
Right. And I think, And I think that is, like, I think part of it, like, you know, we talk about, you know, maturity and growth. Like, I think we're so quick. Like, he's played 3 years as a contracted rostered player. But we're so quick to go, like, oh, NBA, you know, like, he's drafted. So we expect this bona fide superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't a draft. Like, he's the second round that they, the same reason, like, he's a draft and stash guy. Like, let's see his potential is that much better.
So where then, like, could Luke Travers go where he could flourish?
Oh, I think he'll be enticed.
I don't think he's the one option on any team. But is he the two on any team? Like, what?
And this is where I go. So this will be the question mark. If they're saying this, so I could be completely wrong. But if what Danny or the organization is saying he has to do this, then he ends up in Illawarra.
Right.
Right? Because his agent then goes, go to Illawarra.
Yeah.
They're not going to win. The ball is in your hand. Your
stats.
LaMelo ball. Yep. Your opportunity, you're going to do that. Now, if Luke Travers is like, I wasn't content with, like, the role, I'm not satisfied with the organization and the direction that he's heading, he ends in a Melbourne or a Sydney. Mm. Like, that's clear, because then I'd be going, if you're in a Melbourne, like, there's a lot of other studs, like, and they, you know, they're going to bring in and people. So then clearly they don't go, you need to go to Melbourne, because Melbourne or Sydney or that is Perth. Well, that's what it was. So I think that will become resolved. Like, in that regard. And even part of me thinks, like, even in that sense, if the Cavs were like, you need to grow, and that came from their direction and their comms, would you not think he'd be in the G League under their nose? Yeah. And saying, grow here. Like, this is the perfect opportunity for growth. We can see you. We can bring you up and down and whatnot. So, I'm sure there's, like, some reasoning, truth behind that. But I just think, I don't think he was content, like, with being that. Like, I think he looks at it and goes, yeah, like, Bryce is numero uno, but I just don't think he is pleased with that. And even if you look at it, I could say to him and go, you need to be Xavier Cooks and Mitch Creek, but the system that they're running, he doesn't flourish as a four man.
Yeah.
So he is like the three man and then backup point guard and all that. So you're like, hey, be the four, but in the four, it's a lot of pick and pop. You know what I mean? It's not like a guy where Cooks is like, and initiates the play and all that sort of stuff. So, right, he has to get in a system where he is a playmaker, because I don't think he is a one. He's not a Giddy, you know, these guys. He's not a 3-and-D guy. I honestly think he is that.
Like he could play like a Draymond Green, four,
like
not
a smart Draymond Green, like, but you know what I mean? Like Draymond's a beast, but like a guy that is able to, and that's what he has to, that's what's holding him back, obviously, the mental fortitude. Like, get the ball off the ring and like, I'm going to take three bounces and I'm going to yam it on your head.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, Xavier Cooks, like, I don't think, like, yeah, Cooks is, he's 27, 28, so he's shown that. Like, but I think that that is the ceiling for LT, and yeah, and that's what. Yeah. I believe he can ultimately get to.
I think I have no clue of where he's going. I don't know Luke at all. I'd say that there may be a couple of options. Let's say Europe, right, is option C or something, like, because he could get paid and maybe there's a club that goes after him and gives him a good stack of coin.
Yeah.
I'd say, what do you think about Southeast Melbourne as a destination for him with Mike Kelly, and their connection to the NBA with, you know, ownership and sort of Mitch Creek?
I honestly think, you know, if there would, and if there is any, and as much as that pains me, Sydney would be your best option. You know, like, they've got how many players getting out of there?
Yeah.
With a guy that's left.
I also think that Sydney could be an option because there's a couple of NBL journos that are really pushing the Melbourne thing. And my sort of tinfoil take is that the Sydney Kings are telling certain journalists that they're going to be going after Luke Travers. But could you please say that Melbourne are really interested so that we can fly under the radar and take him? I would say that because I've seen certain journos saying Travers, Melbourne's, you know, really in there, which Melbourne, you know, could definitely be interested. Every club's going to be interested in Luke Travers.
Absolutely.
But I have noticed Sydney not really being mentioned much at all, and I feel like that's a directive. And that's my tinfoil hot take that, you know, you might not agree. You probably wouldn't agree, but I was just looking from afar.
But to be completely honest, I mean, some people are like, as much as, and I was listening to a few things today and they were like, yeah, it was, you know, a couple of days, it didn't seem like LT, you know, like he was agreeing, he was coming back, and there's only been the last few days. Like, I can't help but say, like, I'm a Wildcats fan, you know, like, and that loyalty always will go there. I can't help but feel disappointed because I honestly think he is the face of that franchise, you know what I mean? And so, like, as much as I would pay, like, and it's not that, it's a WA guy, like, so as much as that's part of it, your agent's going to be in your ear, but if you were able to provide your agent an opportunity to be like, you're flourishing, like, I would say, like, to LT and go, mate, like, the ball is going to be in your hands all the time. Like, this is my thing, is that We haven't seen him being in a position to fail. So, like, you know, like, put him in, like, go, all right, mate, we've got you in a year. You're going to be our second guy. Like, the ball is going, we're going to be running players through you.
Yeah.
But in essence, if you don't do well, like, your next contract is done. Like, we'll sign you for a 1-year deal and we'll do that and prove us, like, that your capacity, like, and do that. But I would look at it, and this is the thing, like, do I think he's an NBA guy? It's still very unsure because I think there's that. But, mate, I honestly didn't think, you know, as much as I like Xavier Cooks as a player, I'm like, I was not expecting him to sign a deal for Wizards, like, you know, that as a 27, 28-year-old. So, like, it just shows that, right? And there's a lot of NBL guys around the league. I'm not saying he's not good, but just the age thing and, you know, like the deficiency of you not shooting, right?
Yeah.
You can be, so again, I don't be
exposed
know.
Very quickly in the NBA when, I mean, we've seen players who from 1 point sign 4-year, you know, $110 million contracts to when that contract ends, they're out of the league because the game, they can't survive in the game.
So on that, like, and that's why I see, like, Mitch Creek as invaluable as a basketball player in the NBL because he's like that guy. He's like fringe, you know, like, he could go back to the NBA and get a couple of 10 days. He might get a deal, but he's an absolute beast in the NBL. He, like, knows the league.
Yep.
You know, he's always going to be athletic. He's adding to his game. He knows it, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So here's my hot take.
Okay.
If you want a conspiracy theory, is if ever the NBL and Larry Kessman wanted to create do a rivalry, it would be now to launch a second Perth team. And your very first signing for that second Perth team would be Bryce Cotton.
Yep.
Because right now he's looking and going, what is going on?
Yeah, what's going on in Perth? Yeah.
Correct. And do you know who your very first signing would be after that, if you're in next year? Second signing? Trevor Gleeson.
Yeah.
Because he's like Nick Nurse, high likelihood of getting fired.
Yeah.
Trev's going to be getting paid out and is going to be sitting at home getting a nice little check and going, oh, well, I'm coming back.
That's right. And look, there was a lot of talks. There was just a lot of speculation that he would end up at Southeast Melbourne because that coaching thing was up.
I knew it. Timing wasn't. Another year, he high likelihood, no doubt. But, you know, he can't commit to an NBA an NBL team. Why would he? Like, if he's on 500,000, I'm just guesstimating here. He can get that while he's sitting at home.
Yeah,
but if he gets another job, he's not getting
he's
that.
Gonna go
like,
to work.
It's just timing.
Who wants to go to work? I don't want to go to work.
Mate, I want to sit at home for $500,000. Yeah.
Look, so there's a lot to play out. I know that was probably a lot of Wildcats stuff, but we are here in Perth, and they've got probably more question marks.
Are you going to splice that? They'll go nuts. I reckon if you cut up that bit where it says Bryce Cotton, second Perth team.
Yep.
Mate,
The West will run that on the back page, I'm sure.
Larry's trying to bring a team to Gold Coast. It's not working, Larry. Like, I know you're a genius, but seriously.
The thing about the Gold Coast, you just look across the codes of every single franchise in Australia. You've got the whatever the rugby.
Titans.
I don't follow the rugby. Yeah.
Sun.
No
Suns.
Good, right? The Gold Coast Suns.
Where are the Dolphins playing out of?
Queensland, somewhere. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know NRL at all. The only reason why I know about the Dolphins is because on Backchat, we're sponsored by Bluebet, and Bluebet are like one of the major backers of the Dolphins, and they're doing well. What I was saying is the Gold Coast is just it's a hole for teams to go and never succeed. Like, I don't, you know, so I just don't know why the Gold Coast, there's probably a lot of money in it. Like, and Larry's a businessman, he's very smart. So I understand that would make sense. A second Perth team, where it's too indoctrinated here with Perth Wildcats. It's like,
do you honestly think
I mean,
but at this current time,
maybe you could say that at West Coast Eagles, like when the Dockers were coming in, you'd be like, no one's going to go for the Dockers. But we also had the WAFL and like South Fremantle, East Fremantle has huge followings and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe a second team, but who knows?
I think it's worth the current climate. Like, I honestly don't think it would work. But if there is a time when you're talking like shifting and the last 2 years of success and what that looks like, this would be the time. Like, you're getting like if and say another year of. Not making the playoffs.
Wildcats fans were pissed off because the roof was going to be open one game. Like, if another team came,
the fourth quarter song choice, like they certainly would. But I think, but imagine that as a, like, I'm a massive if. I don't know, it's April, not April 1, but imagine if, like, that's what I'm going to tweet on April 1st. But new NBL Perth team, Bryce Cotton. But like,
not the Bandits.
Imagine that as a signing, like, no, definitely not the Bandits. Like, Bryce Cotton, inaugural signing, Trev Gleeson. Like, tell me that's not a rivalry. Like,
yeah.
And off those two, like, you might not be making much. Mate, you'd sell out of Challenge straight away. Like, that's your little, and then you play games out of Perth. Like, half the games.
You get hated. Like, imagine the games at RSC. That would be good. I've got a couple of fan questions.
I'll be the GM.
Okay. Can I get on that?
You'll be the comms guy.
No, I've done that job at the Wildcats.
Wade Dobson 2.0.
I don't want to be the guy that has to. I've done this where you call up. All right, I got to call Greg. I get a call from. I'm not going to name names of stations because I'm not going to shit on anyone. But you get a call from a certain radio station.
I just did before. You should do that.
Oh, you get a call from SEN. No, I'm joking. You get a call from a radio station. They're like, "Hello, we'd like to talk to Bryce Cotton tomorrow," and you're like, okay. And like, can we get him to come in at, I don't know, 7:45? And you're like, I'll find out. And then I got to get on my phone and call Bryce. Like, it's ringing. Hello. Hey, Bryce, it's Dan. Who? Dan from Wildcats. Sorry, I don't know who you are. Yeah, anyways, Bryce, can you drive out to Fremantle tomorrow at 7:45 for an interview? And then he hangs up. Like, it's working for a sports team is really.
What is the worst? Is that what's the worst thing you've had to do? Like, that
I remember. I remember vividly, actually, when I was also at the Wildcats, I was also doing comm stuff for the Lynx. And what would happen is as soon as the game would finish, you would quickly get the press conference area ready to go. Like it's already basically set up, but you just make sure that it's all set. There's a couple of chairs there. And then what I'd have to do is I would have to go to the away change rooms, knock on the door, and then go get the coach and go, hey, mate, sorry, we've just got the press conference. And especially if that team had just lost, they don't want to see you. They don't know who you are and they don't know why you're talking to them. And the worst was the Canberra Capitals.
Carey Graff?
Melbourne. The Melbourne coach.
Yeah.
The guy, he hated me. He gave me dead eye. Like, I'm like, sorry, you got to come. And then I don't know, 20 minutes have gone past. He's still in the change rooms, go back down. Hey, mate, really? And he's, I'm coming. Just give me a second. Like, they, did not treat me very well. And so, I had to talk about it with my boss at the time. I was like, mate, this just happened. He went Burke at me and they called the team and they said, mate, no good. You got it. You can't treat people like that. That was pretty bad.
Love that.
All right. Here's a couple of questions that got sent in. Firstly, this is off the back of the, this was sent in a couple of weeks ago, but it's been so long since you've been here. is there prize money for winning the NBL championship?
Not that I know of. The only bonuses that were tied into a contract were making finals, like semi-finals and finals, and, which is always sick
like
for us, right?
NBL first team and stuff like that.
No, see, I don't think Wildcats ever, that was part of the thing, that like philosophy of culture might have obviously changed. But their culture had changed in terms of like there was no player bonuses attached to contracts. Like they were like, we don't want a selfish attitude. So they were literally contracts were the thing. Which I was like, yeah, it's a great bet. Finals, which was always like, of all 10 years I played, like we made six of them. So I was always like, literally was like, yeah, I knew straight away. All right. So I was like, sweet, here's my whatever percentage of my contract I've got. And I was like, that's my trip to Bali. That's all sorted. It was nice.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Here we go. How lucrative is it to go and play in at the end of the NBL to some of the international teams? So, you know, there's a lot of international teams out there. We've seen players go to Japan, Spain, France, Korean leagues, China. Compared to sort of the money that can be made in the NBL. NBL 1, I'd say, is a good, is a really competitive competition, but it's not, you're not getting that paid as opposed to some of these international tournaments.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. I mean, I think he's done it. It's changing. I think the NBL and I think social media and all that sort of stuff opens that whole world up. Like you're seeing Will Magnay's over in Europe, Jack McVay's over in Europe. Even Alan Williams is in Japan. I think you see that because there's a lot of Australian coaches now in those Asian leagues. So they sort of I know what I'm going to get here. So it's not that big.
Yep.
It's, I couldn't speak. I know it's funny when you sort of go, I remembered being in a 3x3 Asia Cup tournament last year. And DJ was on my team, Daniel Johnson from Adelaide. And the coach of Saigon Heat, which is like the Singaporean team comes up to him and he's like, oh, hey, mate, love to chat. And he's like, look, I want to sign you if you're not playing NBL, but I want to sign you. And then Deej is like the quietest dude in the world. So hit me up, whatever. Has no ambition. But then he's like, yeah, look, it'll be like for 2 months, it'll be like 80 grand, and I was just like,
I was like, I'll come back. Like, if DJ doesn't want the gig, like, I'm more than happy to come back. Like, I love Singapore. But, yeah, it's obviously when I was going through, there wasn't, like, it was rare for those guys. Like, I mean, you didn't have Japan League and all those guys. Like, China wasn't, you know, that was, like, lucrative. But, you know, even seeing, look at what, you know, Golding's gone to Paris because of Will Weaver. You know what I mean? So it's like so much is that the NBL alumni, those coaching networks are so far stretched now that they are going there, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and Reese Vague, did Reese Vague go to?
Reese is currently in Japan.
That's right.
Like, I actually think that's the guy that the Wildcats should target.
Big fan of Reese Vague, like, as a person.
Our exceptional human. Really good guy. But, you know, talking about a guy that, you know, we spoke about LT, about it, a change of scenery, like, Reese was like, had all this promise in the world. But I was like, yeah, look, there are a lot of things. And then Trev was one of those guys that once he had this, like, I'm not sure if label, but like what he had depicted you as, it was never changing. Like,
that would be for good and bad as well.
Oh, in a heartbeat. Absolutely. I remember it was.
Well, we've lost Greg. It's some crazy weather, actual thunder and lightning, and I think, you know, over in Edgewater, maybe the entire power has just gone out. But that's all we have time for anyway. That's the end of our little wrap of what's happened so far at the NBL free agency. There'll be much more to talk about next week. There'll probably be some player signings that we can talk about a bit more in depth. Hello at backchatpodcast.com.au is where you can email us or send us a little message on Instagram, backchat_basketball. Hopefully the Wildcats will sign some players. We'll see a bit of player movement. It's always an exciting time of year. Catch you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That episode from Backchat Studios lives on the Acast Creator Network. If you want to sign up as a patron or access all of our merch, head to backchatpodcast.com.au.